8187. Are there other legislative bills that we should be keeping an eye on? I do have a couple more that I'd like to share, but I'm going to go to the phone line. Hello, Red Willow. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Good morning, Joanne. So my question has to do directly with retaliation for shining a light on the police department and the police union. I'm wondering, have you heard of any repercussions for your actions or other people that are reviewing the actions of the police department? How dangerous is it to advocate? Yeah, that's what I want to know.
It's extremely dangerous to advocate in opposition to the police, because in policing mind, you're either with them or you're the enemy. I have heard many stories directly from people whose families have been killed or harmed by the police, how the harassment escalates after someone's death or someone's been hospitalized at the hands of the police. Erin Campbell's family told me horror stories about them being harassed after they shot and killed Erin Campbell. Keaton Otis, Fred Bryant told me that his family was harassed after they killed Keaton Otis. And so I know that people take on the police at a significant personal risk, which is why people like me are able to say things that other people who've been harmed just couldn't publicly say and not be fearful for their life. I think, you know, I am who I am. I say what I say. They don't harass me anymore, you know, but when I stop and watch traffic stops, I still get officers who don't know me. Like, what are you doing here? Just watching.
Right.
Just watching. Okay. Right. I take pictures. Why are you taking pictures? Just in case.
Well, let me ask you a question about this recent killing or shooting of the mental health.
The 47-year-old Michael Sean Harrison. Yes.
Okay. And it's my understanding they had all the neighbors go in their house and lock their doors as if there was some sort of army coming down the street or something. And to me, I think that blocks. If people can't observe what the police are doing,
yes.
How are we going to keep ourselves safe?
Right, and how do you hold them accountable I'm sure the woman who this guy walks into her house with a knife in his hand, sits down and starts cutting himself, I'm sure she was freaked out. She got her kids. They went to the basement. They called 911, you know. And so it was clear that I don't know if it was clear because I wasn't there. But the facts of the case are he walked into somebody's house he didn't know. The woman got her and her kids out, called the police, and the man had a knife, right? And so I would think if you're sitting there cutting yourself, clearly there's something going on, right? And I'm raising the question because, in my opinion, if we've trained all our police officers to be able to identify people with mental health issues, why would the solution be to shoot them?
Right, if he's cutting himself.
If he's cutting himself, yes.
And then there's nobody that can say either or except the police. That's my point.
Right.
It's dangerous.
And then the police say, he didn't follow our orders. Well, if you read the Department of Justice findings, people with mental health issues don't traditionally follow orders. And when you order them, they get more aggressive, not less. And so just the whole approach seemed to be, you know, we're police, we got guns, and we're here with our guns. So if you have a gun and that's the only tool you have, that's what you use. And so I hope that the Community Oversight Advisory Board takes this case as a case history. But also the woman that I talked about earlier in the program who was at the buffet, who nothing in the report said that she got into an altercation at the buffet and the police had to come and break it up. But the last sentence says she spit on a police officer. And then I look at the mugshot. She's got a busted lip. Her face is swollen. It's all red. It's not rocket science to figure out, well, if she was eating in a buffet line until the police got there, and then she was with the police until she got into the mugshot, it's not rocket science to figure out who beat her up. Right?
Right.
And who holds the police accountable for that? Since the police themselves are the ones that are doing their use of force reports, right? I want to see
they're
those
policing police. Themselves. They're, and when it's a life and death situation, yes. Nobody gets to police themselves. There has to be an outside viewing.
Yes, yes. And that's what we have. And that's the challenge. And so I hope you'll come out to the May 28th meeting at PCC Cascade. By the way, the NAACP general meeting is just Saturday at 12 noon at the Portland Red Cross, if you want to come and participate in that. And next Saturday, the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform will meet from 11 to 1 at Maranatha Church. So this Saturday...
So I have one final question, okay. Joanne. Would you think as another way to mitigate the danger in advocating if someone were to come to these meetings, would they protect themselves? Would they become acquainted with these organizations? Or because if they're just a single person, yes. It's just dangerous.
Well, there's power in numbers. So I would say yes. I would say join the NAACP. Join the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. Join Portland Cop Watch. Join organizations that have a history of standing up to police abuse.
That's a good one. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. We got about 5 minutes left in the program. And so, do we have police accountability? Not yet. Do we have a process to obtain police accountability? I'm not sure. Do we have high-paid consultants from Chicago coming to town to tell us what's wrong with Portland police? Yes, we do. What I hope through this process is that we learn what will work in Portland. I'm a little annoyed by the premise that somehow we're going to learn from Rosenbaum and Watson what best policing practices are across the country, and we're going to actually be able to use that here. Nothing in their work so far leads me to believe that they're interested in listening to the public. In fact, they get frustrated when the public comes and questions and challenges their worldview of policing in the city of Portland. But what you can do as the public is stay involved, stay engaged, stay informed. Make sure that you continue to hold the police commissioner and mayor accountable for a lack of police accountability. Make sure you remind the entire city council that they signed off on a settlement agreement, so therefore they, in fact, are responsible for whether reform happens. Make sure that you let the compliance officer and community liaison know that he's an outsider, not the people who've been working on police reform in the city of Portland forever. He's the outsider, the paid consultant that's been hired to come in and check what's going on within Portland Police Bureau. And so these are the important things. You want to get involved, join the NAACP Political Action Committee that will be keeping an eye on Portland police officers. Join the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. Join Portland Cop Watch, who's been watching Portland police officers for well over 25 years. These are organizations that are established, and continue to do the hard work of actually tracking down the policy change proposals, talking to the police commissioners and police chief and other police officers, working with the Community Oversight Advisory Board. And by the way, the Community Oversight Advisory Board does have a Facebook and a website, and so you can get that information directly from them. But I have posted the report on my Voices from the Edge KBOO Facebook page, and we'll also post it online later today. It continues. I mean, this is just the beginning of what will be a very long process. And I knew the consultant would figure out a way to ask for more money, which is exactly what he does in this report. And then we find we need additional staffing help. We need an administrative assistant. And then we need somebody, a policy person. And so we, the public, have to keep our eyes out on how much money we're spending on this pretend oversight of Portland Police. So already we're in for $250,000 a year just for the compliance officer and community liaison. Then we tacked on another $75,000 when we hired the people from Chicago so they could fly in and out at their convenience. And now we're adding additional staff people. So the money is adding up. And, you know, it would be fine if we were spending money and at the end we were getting accountability. But instead, what we're doing is spending money and just pretending that somehow everything that's broke has been fixed. What a bad, bad outcome for people who have been really looking at reform for quite some time. People ask me all the time, so do you think the COAB is going to work? I think that the city of Portland, the city of Portland's attorneys, the city council is doing everything possible to make it not work. It is up to us, the people, to make sure that it does work. And so look forward to seeing you next Thursday evening at 5:30 at PCC Cascade. If I don't see you before at the NAACP general meeting. Thank you, Steve. It's been a great day. See you next week. Same time, same place, same station. Have a great, great day.
Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that Peter is gold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your eyes.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland, the Mighty Boo on your Thursday morning. Coming up in a half hour, join us for Fight the Empire. Today, host Per Fogering talks about imperial chaos. As things fall apart around the world, he asks if the U.S. hopes to gain from the chaos. At 10, it's Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, Flashpoints continues the multi-part series, The Battle for Education in the 21st Century. And later, we'll hear an excerpt of Oliver Stone at the Left Forum discussing his multi-part documentary series, The Untold History of the United States. At 11 on Between the Covers, host David Naiman has an extended interview with best-selling science fiction author Neal Stephenson about his new book, Seven Eves, The Future, Technology, Optimism, and More. But up next, it's Teresa Mitchell hosting Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know. And that's next on KBOO.
RT, a news service formerly called Russia Today, is barely 10 years old, but it's making waves. Hillary Clinton said the United States is losing the information war to outlets like RT. John Kerry called it a propaganda bullhorn. Yet RT is one of the most watched TV news sites in the West. Hi, this is Per Fogren. Friday at 11, I'll be talking